My idea for this sermon came about in my mind some time ago. Like, maybe you've had the same question. What would you say to a group of people if they invited you to their Bible study or to their church, a Judeo church or a Judeo Christian group? This is a result of that. I thought the first thing I need to convince them is there's a difference between Israel and the Jews, because they all think it's the same thing. That's the farthest thing. So that would probably be the first step. So this is a basic, I'm like preaching to the choir. This is a basic sermon of Christian identity that you probably already know everything I'm going to say, but I think it's interesting and it may give you something to work with if you ever run into that situation. Yep, the main point to identify the difference between Israel and the Jews. I call it Can America Be Great Again? Our scripture reading, if you will stand, is just one verse, Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. How true that is, you may be seated. In our day, we are really seeing it on a large scale. Was America ever great in the first place? Well, since no one person or group of people can be perfect and great, at least within reason, there was a time when America was great and far more perfect than she is now. It is not my purpose to prove that our country was great at one time, because most historians would agree this is true. One historian who came to America to find out why we were great said, I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. This was a comment by Alexis D. de Tocqueville. What happened to America? Is there any doubt that America has already seen its better days? A whole message could be spent on the demise of our country, the economy, national debt, oppressive taxation, IRS abuse, loss of individual freedom, corrupt judges and courts, lying media, killing of babies, overcrowded jails and violence, trafficking of women and children, and homosexuality. On it goes, so I will not bore you. It would take hours to document just a sampling of such things. Our text mentions two things that beg the questions. One, who are the people being destroyed? And two, what knowledge are they lacking that will prevent them from being destroyed? These two questions hinge on the Christian Israel doctrine, also known as Christian identity, a very controversial belief among most Christian folk today, and the most hated doctrine of our mortal enemy. The reason Christian identity is hated by so many people is because it is considered racist, quote unquote, by nearly everyone who hears about it. At that point, such people are turned off mentally, form prejudices, and reject the doctrine as spurious. Therefore, they do not attempt to study it any further. But the problem is, they do not study it on the basis of the historic facts that Christian identity teaches, and they condemn it based on that one word, racist, without defining what that particular word means. It happens to be a word invented and defined by our enemies, which is used against us in various ways. Furthermore, it is always used in the context of racial hatred, which may or may not be the case. For example, how many of you, since the time of the COVID restrictions, Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ rights, and wokeism agenda, have been called racist just because you disagreed with any part of these movements or you were white? Can I get a show of hands? Now, myself, and maybe you feel the same way, I proudly admit that I'm racist, and I'll define the term for them if they need a definition. But most Americans don't like that term. You don't consider yourself a racist, do you? In fact, you're offended, and rightly so. But these leftists and communists will not concede or admit they might be wrong about you personally. You are still a racist because of your whiteness. And when they use the word racist, you are automatically a hater. You just cannot win with their logic, so why fight it? Might as well accept the truth that all races are not equal, and that all through the Bible, God makes a distinction between his people and those races that are not his. Now, the Christian Israel doctrine will not only answer the two questions I have posed with the above text, but it will also answer the questions posed since the Reformation period, which caused the split between Calvinism and Arminianism. This issue I will not cover here for lack of time, but as I'm sure you will all agree, that is a very important issue to cover for all Christians, regardless of theological persuasion. Why does America continue to decline, and why are God's people being destroyed? What knowledge do we lack? The Bible has the answer. Are Christians nationalists? Have Christians ever prayed the Lord's Prayer, which says, quote, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," end quote? Sure, Christians are nationalists. And being nationalists, they want their country to succeed, especially for their children's sake. Of course, they and their children need the right kind of knowledge to perpetuate this God-ordained kingdom. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The Bible speaks of many kinds of salvation. It does not always refer to personal salvation, such as the forgiveness of sins, sanctification, and healing, nor does it talk about accepting Jesus, going to heaven, or the sweet by and by. These are all church cliches. It is not a book on how we personally should live only. It is a book on the history of a particular people. Therefore, it is a book dealing primarily with national salvation over any kind of personal salvation. In the verse above, what is meant by the term, "my people"? Ever wonder to whom that refers? Most church people think it means the Christians. However, there is a problem here, for it says of these people that they are to, quote, unquote, turn from their wicked ways. Well, haven't Christians already turned from their wicked ways by repenting of their sins? Of course they have. So "my people" refers to someone else. Who is it? All one has to do is read the context of the previous verses of this passage. It is the people of Israel, not the Israelite state. The people of Israel whom God had chosen for his own. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 6, the Israelites, not Jews, are at Mount Sinai. "Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Here God is promising them, and the them is the house of Jacob Israel, national salvation. Notice, quote, if you will keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all others, end quote. Notice also that they were a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is plenty of proof that they had national salvation. The Bible is the history book of their racial nation. A covenant is an agreement, much like a contract. In this case, it is God's law, which Israel agreed to with the words, quote, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do, end quote, Exodus 19:8. This was a marriage covenant between God and Israel. Further proof that the law is the covenant for Israel to keep is found in Deuteronomy 4:13, where Moses is reminding them about the events at Sinai. Quote, and he, that's God, declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, end quote. We know from the Bible that Israel was not faithful to the covenant, and that God divorced her. We can see this in Jeremiah 3:8. Then followed the Assyrian captivity. Yet God says, quote, turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you, end quote, Jeremiah 3:14. Isn't this true of America too? We started out right, but have since gone astray. What knowledge does America need? In our text, quote, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, end quote, Hosea 4:6. The term my people is the same as in 2 Chronicles 7:14, quote, if my people which are called by my name, end quote, and refers to those in covenant relationship with God. It does not refer to those who actually, quote, believe in Jesus. Excuse me. Believe in Jesus. And what knowledge is this speaking about? I believe it is the knowledge of our identity. It is racial knowledge. Looking further into this verse, verse 6 from Hosea, it says, quote, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, end quote. This is where America went wrong. Remember, the law is the same as the covenant. Turn to Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, and he, Moses, took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. End quote, Exodus 24:7-8. The book of the covenant and the book of the law are the same. After Moses broke the tablets of stone, God had him make another set, and God wrote the 10 commandments on those tablets while they were on Mount Sinai 40 days. See Exodus chapter 34. Accordingly, the law and the covenant are inextricably connected with the people to whom God had made the covenant with. Who is this people? Israel. It is they who have, quote, forgotten the law of thy God, end quote. Notice the pronoun thy. This makes it racial. The covenant law is not for everybody of every race on the planet. It was given to Israel, the people, not the country. Now, if we in America are Israel, then there is hope. If we live up to the covenant agreement, we can regain our national salvation. The big question is this. Can the law of God given to Israel be applied to us in America? Some say no. They claim that the laws of God were done away with. If this were true, then no, America cannot claim national salvation by returning to a covenant which was not theirs. However, I do not subscribe to this view. God's law and covenant stands forever. In order for America to claim God's promise of blessings or curses under the covenant, it must be proven that America is descended from the ancient Israelites under this marriage covenant. So let us assume that the founders of America were descended from the tribes of Israel, and that we are responsible to God for keeping His law. God cannot and will not bless America under the current conditions we face. There are numerous ways we have offended God, some of which go back to the early days of our republic. Time will not permit me to cover them, but I must cover the main error that has duped and gripped Christians for over three generations. That has to do with the tiny nation called Israel, the Israeli state. What is the Old Testament record of the Jews' origin? Before we examine the scripture concerning their origin, let me clarify the confusing word Jew. It is often confusing because this slang word has multiple meanings. It is derived from Judah, one of the sons of Jacob Israel. It came into use after the return from the Babylonian captivity, a point never made to students of the Bible. Therefore, since this word was not in use until after the captivity, you will not see it in your Bible until after that period. This word, Jew, does not appear in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. Thus, Abraham is never called a Jew. Likewise, Moses was not a Jew, and neither were the Israelites that came out of Egypt called Jews. The word Jew does not appear in the Bible until the book of 2 Kings 16:6, and there we find that the Jews are at war with the Israelites. I have broken down the word Jew into three categories of meaning. Number one, the geographic aspect. Jew can mean Judean in the land of Judea in Bible times, or a citizen of the state of Israel today. Number two, there's the ethnic aspect. Jew can mean Judahite, as in Bible times, denoting a pure genetic relation to the tribe of Judah, or it can mean there is no relationship at all, as in our time. Thirdly, the religious aspect. Jew or Jewish means the Talmudic traditions of the elders, a religion rooted in Babylon. This could apply to anyone who practices Judaism, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of their race. Thus, I break down the word Jew as number one, the national Jew, number two, the genetic Jew, and number three, the Talmudic Jew, respectively. With so many meanings and multiple meanings attached to the word Jew, no wonder it can be confusing to many people. In any discussion, it is important to define the word being used. According to Jewish historian and researcher Benjamin Friedman in his work, Etymology of the word Jew did not appear in the Bible until the 18th century. There was no letter J. Before the 18th century, the word for Jew, that's Idumea, meant Judean only. Now, as we have seen, it has many meanings, including the alleged synonyms Israel, Judah, Hebrew, and Semite. These words are not synonymous, as most Christians have assumed. Each of these words have their own meaning and historical setting. The word Jew is a deliberate mistranslation by the Jewish Masoretes, who gave us the corrupted Masoretic text from which most Bibles are derived. The only reason this word is in the Bible at all is because of the Jews, and it is meant to be misunderstood in order to keep Christians confused about their identity. The great hoax of our age is to claim that the Jews wrote the Bible, and therefore we owe them a debt of gratitude for giving us the Word of God. Christians should know about the identity of the Jews, not just from the Jews and other historians, but from the Bible as well. Genesis chapter 36 says this, "Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth." Genesis chapter 36, first three verses. This chapter tells us the origin of the Jews. Isn't there a problem here? Didn't God forbid the Israelites to marry into the cursed line of Cain? He certainly did. Genesis 24:3 and 28:1 both say, quote, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan," end quote. Therefore, race mixing is wrong. If miscegenation is not a problem, as the modern church believes, then why is it mentioned that Rebekah and Isaac were greatly disturbed over Esau's marriage? Were they just prejudiced? Were they racist? And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah, Genesis 26, 34 and 35. And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" Genesis 27, 46. In this passage, there is no mention concerning the religion of these girls. So why didn't Rebekah and Isaac just say something like modern Christians do, quote, "Oh, they're in love, and as long as they are of the same faith, that's all that matters," end quote. Why? Because it's not true. God has forbidden interracial unions. Therefore, according to the Old Testament records, Esau's descendants, the Jews, are cursed also. They cannot be the chosen of God because they are outside of the covenant family. Verse 8 of chapter 36 says, quote, "Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom," end quote. I challenge all Bible students to trace Edom and then tell us they are the children of God. Sick. And, quote, "the chosen nation." Sick. The Jews hate Jesus Christ down to this very day. Now let us examine just a short list, and less than half of what I had, of the many scriptures that prove the difference between Israel and the Jews. And there are many other related scriptures corroborating each topic. I've listed, I think I got 12 of them here. Yeah. Number one, Israel to be a great and mighty nation, Deuteronomy 4, 7, and 8. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? The Jewish nation has never been prominent in the world, and their laws have not been based upon the law of our God, but rather the Talmud and other sources of their elders. Number two, Israel to have an enormous population, Genesis 22:17. "I will indeed bless you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore." The Jews have never been a majority in the world, but rather a persecuted and hated minority that has always sought to manipulate and dominate other nations by subterfuge. Number three, Israel to have a new home, 2 Samuel 7:10. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more, and violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. The Jews have never had their own place, but have always claimed to be from the land of Abraham and the Hebrews. Number four, Israel's home to be northwest of Palestine, Isaiah 49:12. Lo, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sin, which is Persia. The Jews have claimed Palestine, but most of them lived in the kingdom of Khazaria, an area of southeastern Ukraine. Number five, Israel to live on islands and coasts of the earth, Isaiah 31:10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it into coastlands afar off. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. The Jews have not explored or conquered other lands, but have only infiltrated and take advantage of existing civilizations. Number six, Israel to become many nations, Genesis 35:11. I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall spring from you. The Jews have never become a company of nations, nor have they produced kings. Number seven, Israel to have a perpetual monarchy within Israel, 2 Samuel 7:13. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. The Jews have never maintained a monarchy among themselves. Number eight, Israel to continue as a nation forever, 1 Chronicles 17:22. And thou didst make thy people Israel to be thy people forever, and thou, O Lord, didst become their God. The Jews have never been promised by God that they would continue forever, and God has never claimed them as his people. Number nine, Israel to have a land of great mineral wealth, Deuteronomy 8:9. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. The Jews have never possessed a land of great natural resources. Number 10, Israel to have a land of great agricultural wealth, Genesis 27:28. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. The Jews have never been given a land of great agricultural wealth. Number 11, Israel to have a new name, Isaiah 62:2. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will give. The Jews have never had a new name attached to them, while Israel has had many appellations. Number 12, Israel to lose all trace of her lineage, Hosea 1:9-10. Call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the people of Israel should be like the sand of the sea, which can be neither measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, sons of the living God. The Jews have always claimed to have a line back to Abraham, while Israel has forgotten their lineage with the passing of time. This short list ought to be enough evidence to convince anyone of the truth that Israel is not the same as the Jews. Let us take a look now at what the Jews say about themselves. Quote, "And are not they," that's today's Jews, "the inventors of the chosen people myth?" This is from Dr. Oscar Levy, preface to The World Significance of the Russian Revolution in 1920. Strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. The first Hebrews may not have been Jews at all. This is from the Jewish Almanac, compiled and edited by Richard Siegel and Carl Reams. This is in 1980. Another one. Here's a paradox, an anthropological fact. Many Christians may have much more Hebrew Israelite blood in their veins than most of their Jewish neighbors. Alfred M. Lilienthal, From What Price Israel, Chicago, 1953. So ends the quotes. If the Jews know about this, then why don't we? Because they control the educational institutions, entertainment, media, and government. That's why. The truth is that over 90% of the people known as Jews are Ashkenazi Jews and are not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The other 10% are Sephardic Jews whose family tree is also mixed. History reveals they are actually descendants of the fierce Turkish, Mongolian, Khazar tribes which roamed the steppes of southern Russia and who adopted the religion of Judaism between the 7th and 8th centuries. Today, the Khazars are known as Jews, not because of race, but because of their religion. The Jews That Aren't, by Leo Hyman, printed in the San Diego Union, August 28, 1966, reporting the findings of Nathan M. Pollock, an elderly Russian Jew. Another authoritative source, taken from a well-known Jewish author, Arthur Kessler, who wrote a book called The 13th Tribe, published in 1976, widely circulated throughout America and the Western world. This 225-page book is a documented source to prove that most of the people calling themselves Jews today are neither Israelites nor Semites, but are instead Khazars, Mongols, and Huns. This book was reviewed by major newspapers and magazines throughout 1976. Not one of these Khazar Jews ever had a descendant in the Holy Land, not in Old Testament history or back to the beginning of time. And yet they come to Christians and ask us to support their armed insurrection in Palestine by saying, quote, "Well, you certainly would want to help repatriate God's chosen people to their promised land, their ancestral homeland. It's your Christian duty. We gave you one of our own as your Lord and Savior. You now go to church and worship a Jew, and we're Jews," end quote. Of course, none of this is true, and Jesus was a Palestinian Israelite by race. To illustrate, these pagan Khazars were converted just the same as the Irish or the Chinese were converted. There are 54 million Chinese Muslims, and Muhammad only died in 620 AD. So in that time, 54 million Chinese have accepted Islam as their religion. Now imagine in China, 2,000 miles away from Arabia and Mecca, where Muhammad was born. Just imagine if these 54 million Chinese called themselves Arabs. You would say they are lunatics. All they did was adopt the religious faith that had its origin in Mecca. These Khazars, a pagan Turkish-Mongolian mix, were forced out of Asia into Eastern Europe. They likewise, as their king did, took the Talmudic faith. They had no choice. The same as in Spain. If the king was Catholic, nearly everybody had to be Catholic. If not, you had to leave Spain. These Khazars became today's Jews. This is a fact of history. The Jews have no valid claim to Palestine. Many Judeo-Christians believe that the Jews of today are the people of biblical Israel. However, not even rabbis can agree on who is a Jew. Quote, there is no general agreement today concerning the use of the term. The question of who is a Jew is being hotly debated in the context of the modern state of Israel, end quote. The Jews cannot be biblical Israel because they are actually separated from the Israel of the Bible by at least 700 years. Dr. Larry Blanchard gives a summary, and I'm quoting from Larry. Those who call themselves Jews today are not the genetic descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Further, they are not a race of people, but are a racially intermixed group. The majority of Jews today are called Ashkenazi, that's Khazar, Jews, which descended from a Turkish-Mongolian tribe who converted to Judaism in the 7th century A.D. They also claim descent from Esau, that's the father of the Edomites. Edom is in modern Jewry, Jewish Encyclopedia. And Japheth, the son of Noah, who was the ancestor of Ashkenaz, the father of Ashkenazi, Genesis 10, 1 through 3. The other 5 to 10% of the Jews are called Sephardic, also a racially mixed group descended from Esau. So ends a quote from Dr. Blanchard. It is important to remember that down through history there have been those who claimed to be descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, yet were not. The New Testament confirms this as true. Quote, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, better rendered Judahites, and are not, but do lie, but are the synagogue of Satan, end quote, Revelation 2:9. Therefore, the Bible confirms the fact that the Jews are liars. Jesus confirmed the same and told them directly, quote, you are of your father the devil, end quote, and they that do the works of their father, who is the chief of all lies, end quote, from John 8:44. As you can tell, Jesus Christ and the Jews did not get along very well. Because of this, the Jews conspired to kill him. Matthew 26:59, quote, now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, end quote. Matthew 12:14, quote, then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him, end quote. Many more such references prove that the Jews were the enemy of Jesus Christ, and they are still the enemies of Christians today. To say that they can be saved is as absurd as saying that the devil can be saved or that angels can be saved. Only one family, the seed of Abraham through Isaac, can be redeemed. Jews love to throw around the accusation of anti-Semitism, but this term is a misnomer, for Jews are not descended from our forefather Shem. But they use this term, reflective of the alleged Holocaust against them, to intimidate we Christians who are anti-Jewish. A Christian must be anti-Jewish because Jews are the Antichrist, and admit so. The two faiths, Christianity and Judaism, are total opposites. All one has to do to confirm this is to read from the Talmud, or just read the book by Martin Luther, The Jews and Their Lies. The truth is, we Aryans are descended from Shem, not the Jews. But because Jews own the media, they continue to use this lie against the Caucasian race. Do you know what the Jews today say about our Lord Jesus Christ? They say he is the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier. They also say that Jesus is in hell today, boiling in a pot of human body fluids. And so many of our people say we are to support the Israeli state. The Jews have done their brainwashing quite well. They are the most wicked and deceiving people on the face of the earth. Has the Jew blessed America? The political nation called Israel, I'm speaking of the Israeli state, got its start at the turn of the last century with the Balfour Declaration. This declaration by Lord Balfour was a hoax, which beforehand was a deal the British and the Jews agreed upon to get the United States involved in World War I, which the British was losing. During the war with Germany, the Jews came to Britain and said they could get the U.S. into the war to help them defeat Germany. But in return, they wanted a favor. The Jews said, "Give us a homeland." About 4 locations were a possible choice, but they finally decided upon Palestine. By the mandate of the United Nations in 1948, the political state of Israel was born. The state of Israel has received trillions of dollars in foreign aid from the U.S. government, more than all the other countries in the world combined. Well, we have really been blessing Israel, but have they blessed us? No. Since that time, America has deteriorated and declined to the extreme. I think it is obvious God has not blessed America, but rather America is cursed and God has become our enemy. Not only that, but the whole world hates the U.S. aggressor spreading quote-unquote democracy, so-called, around the world and around the globe. Furthermore, the Jews run the entire banking systems of the world, and in most countries have seized political power. They have installed their Federal Reserve System of 1913 in the U.S., which has led to continuous debt and interest, taken advantage of poorer countries, and thus have brought the entire planet to the brink of another world war. Any country that has opposed the Jew is destroyed, such as Germany's Third Reich, and now the Russian Federation is being targeted. So have the Jews blessed America? Absolutely not. Most church Christians will object to the premise that the white folk are Israel and insist, quote, the Jews are God's chosen, end quote, and we are to, quote unquote, support Israel, meaning the Israeli state. They are wrong. To answer, we must first define the word Israel. How does the Bible define it? Genesis 32:28 says, "And he," speaking of the angel, "said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed," end quote. Jacob's name was changed. Therefore, Israel is simply another name for Jacob. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, fathered 12 sons, and these sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. Therefore, according to the Bible, Israel is a people, not a piece of real estate in the Middle East. Secondly, consider this thought. Put yourself back into the year 1848, 100 years before the state of Israel became an official nation in the world. You are reading your Bible and come across the passage in Genesis 12, where God says to Abram, quote, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12:2-3. You know that Abram is the father of the Hebrew patriarchs, and that we should bless them, and this is true. You are thinking of Abram's descendants, not a political entity. The word Jew is nowhere near this passage. So who are the descendants of Abram? The Bible and history has answered this question. As I have already stated, I believe we, the Adamic race, the Aryans, are Israel. Thirdly, notice what the Lord said to Abram in Genesis 13:14-16. Quote, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. God gave the land within sight to Abram and his seed, that's his descendants, forever, and that his seed would be a huge number, quote, as the dust of the earth. The Jews have never attained such a population. No wonder in the previous verse it said he would be a great nation, and all families of the earth be blessed. The Bible is speaking of Abram's nation. A nation in the scripture is not a political nation. It is a family or a race of people, and therefore implying it would be so large that it must cover the whole planet. Where else could such an enormous crowd live? My conclusion: can America be great again? Not under the present conditions. Why has America fallen to such depths? Because we do not know who we are as the covenant people of God. And instead of thought that the Jew was under the covenant, according to the teaching of our own false prophets in the pulpits of America. 2 Chronicles 19:2 gives the answer by asking a question, quote, should you help the wicked and love them that hate the Lord? Then the wrath of the Lord is upon you, end quote. We must repent of helping the Jews, the enemy of Christendom. We must stop funding the Israeli state and its political allies. We must return to the laws of God personally and nationally. If we meet these conditions, we can see a turnaround. This will not be easy for Judeo-Christian churches and others steeped in the traditions of men. But do they want the country to continue on its downward spiral? America never be great in God's eyes if she is pro-Jewish. Yes, it may be difficult for them to repent of the lie they teach that the Jews are God's chosen, sick. This is the most prominent sin of the Judeo-Christian world. And their second most prominent sin is that all races are created equal, sick. But repent they must. Do we really want national salvation? Will our children and our grandchildren curse us for not acting against this Jew-controlled government in America and thus leaving them with an accursed political situation? Will our grandchildren ask, grandmother, grandfather, what did you do to stop the evil and regain freedom? End quote. Will you have an answer for them? Amos 5:15 says, quote, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. End quote. America is the remnant of Joseph by his sons Ephraim and Manasseh. And we are within the everlasting covenant made with our forefather Abraham. All through the Bible, God is shown to be the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This in itself is proof of the racial context of Scripture and about who we are under the covenant. History reveals that nations who have allowed other races to blend within their own kind have come to destruction. Our verse says, quote, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. Without the knowledge of our racial identity and obedience to God's law, we cannot claim this promise of national salvation. But since we are Israel, the promise of restoration is ours simply by meeting the conditions of the covenant. Amen.